Dham Kija Jagat Kasam. Okay.
Saha.
That. Achirat.
Very soon.
Eva.
Certainly.
Raja Rishe.
O best of kings.
Siat.
Becomes.
Achyuta.
Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Kata.
Narrations.
Ashrayaha.
Depending on.
Shrinvataha.
Of one who is hearing.
Shraddhanasya.
Faithful.
Nichida.
Always.
Syat.
Becomes.
Adhiyataha.
By cultivation.
Translation.
O best of kings, one who is faithful, who is always hearing the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always engaged in the culture of Krishna consciousness and in hearing of the Lord's activities, very soon becomes eligible to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. So you can repeat, O best of kings.
O best of kings.
One who is faithful.
One who is faithful.
Who is always hearing the glories
of
the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
who is always engaged
in the culture of Krishna consciousness,
and in hearing of the Lord's activities,
very soon becomes eligible
to see the Supreme Personality of
Godhead
face to face.
So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Constant engagement in the transcendental loving service of Vasudeva means constantly hearing the glories of the Lord. The principles of Bhakti Yoga, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada, Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atma, Nivedanam, are the only means by which perfection can be attained. Simply by hearing the glories of the Lord, one is elevated to the transcendental position. So,
Sochira deva rajashe shatachuta katha shayaha shunvata shradadana sha nitya dasya athiyataha.
So, Om Magana Timadanda sha gananjana shalakaya chakshur. Un meditam yena tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, of course, this continuing the topic we were discussing yesterday, the topic, of course, was one of faith, right? So here in the translation, Prabhupada translation, but King's one who is faithful. So in the ninth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, the opposite of this, of course, not the opposite of what Prabhupada is saying, but the opposition alike. Ashradana purusha dharma shasha parantapa aprapyamam nivartante mrityu samsara vartmani. That the same word is used, shraddha, but the prefix ashradana means those who do not have faith. Ashradana purusha, purusha is a person. Sometimes it's taken to mean male, but it means both male and female. Dharma shasha parantapa. That, my dear Arjuna parantapa, in those who do not have faith in this dharma, the Sanatana dharma, which is taught by Krishna in the Gita, prapyamam nivartante, they cannot attain Krishna. Krishna, of course, is speaking in the first person. They cannot attain me. But mrityu samsara vartmani, they follow in the path of mrityu samsara. That means death and the repeated death and birth in this material world. So this faith is an extremely important constituent of devotional service. It's upon, everything is based upon faith. Many times we've spoken about this before, but it bears talking about again that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami gives this standard definition of faith. Sada Sabde Vishar Sakahe Sudrinanishya. That the conviction that if I simply do what Krishna says and what his representative says, then sarva karma krita koi, that everything is accomplished. All my particular goals are accomplished if I simply do this. And that requires, as we mentioned yesterday, being on the intelligence platform. Intelligence platform means that we function with the full faith in the goal and the instructions of the spiritual master and Krishna, regardless of what the mind is saying. That's how one conquers the mind, by doing that, by having that firm faith. So the question is that how to develop that firm faith, because naturally, not naturally, but unnaturally, we don't have that faith right now. We're not convinced. So how does one become convinced about Krishna consciousness? How does one develop the faith that Krishna is even there? Like Prabhupada one time said, how many of you actually believe that Krishna is there? Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, many of us were executing devotional service just because we were brought up that way, or we've been doing it for so many years, we formed some habits. It's not so bad. So many of us are doing that. But really, are we actually convinced? Of course, one test to see whether we're actually convinced is the time of death. When death comes, you know, if we're just like scared, was it all real? Was Krishna consciousness all real? Or is it just what I was doing throughout this life? And then that actually shows whether we have this firm faith. But of course, we shouldn't wait till the time of death to develop that firm faith in Krishna. So one develops the firm faith by several means. One, of course, is the association. Perhaps the most important is the association of those who are advanced in devotional service. And we can observe their activities and their speech, and we see how they are situated transcendentally. It's like we see someone like this Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, and when we hear from him, when we hear about his activities, it develops our trust in the process of Krishna consciousness. Another method of developing faith is our own particular internal realizations that occur from following the process of Krishna consciousness. Pratyaksha, that's also ninth chapter, the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Rajavija Rajaguyam Pavitram Paramam Bhavan Pratyaksha Bhagavam Dharmyam Shushukam Kartam Aviyam. Of course, that's a famous verse. Is the king of education, the king of knowledge, most secret of all secrets. And it gives direct perception. Pratyaksha, aksha means, sometimes means to see or the eyes. Pratyaksha means direct perception in the eyes. Pratyaksha, bhagavam dharmam. And then it also gives you happiness. You know, so these two parts of devotional service, or the results of performing devotional service, they actually help you develop this faith in Krishna consciousness. So that, or we can observe other people, how they're advancing in devotional service, and that also increases our faith in Krishna consciousness. So all these different means can help us increase this faith, which actually holds us tight on the process of devotional service. So once we are faithful, once we have complete conviction, then we necessarily avoid things that are detrimental to devotional service, like prajalpa, of course, what to speak of the illicit activities. We naturally avoid these things because we trust completely that Krishna consciousness is it. So the symptom that one doesn't trust is that one is not avoiding things that are detrimental to devotional service. So there's certain symptoms there. So we avoid things that are detrimental to devotional service. And as stated here in the verse, that we always hear the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But however, always hearing the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead from those who are rightly situated in devotional service, from pure devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I've experienced personally when I hear from His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, there's a great enlivenment in my Krishna consciousness. Mm. And I endeavor to always hear about Krishna from Prabhupada and from other devotees who are following Srila Prabhupada strictly. And I try to avoid hearing about Krishna from those who are not following, or those who are adverse to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, those who are impersonalists. Like many devotees, they're attracted to hearing, let's say, kirtans from people who are not actually Krishna conscious. There's very famous people who lead kirtan and bhajan. I'm not talking about people in our movement and criticizing anyone in particular. There's many famous people who lead kirtans, but actually their philosophy is against Krishna consciousness. It is impersonal or Mayavad philosophy, and they're initiated by some guru who teaches impersonal philosophy. So if you hear from such a person, Sanatana Goswami says, quoting from the Hari Bhakti Shudaya, sapo chisti tapayam, then it has poisonous effects in your Krishna consciousness. So we have to be very, very careful. So there's positive and negative injunctions, just like in the process of yoga, there's yama and niyam. There's what to do and what not to do. Actually, the first thing is what not to do. You understand? Actually, that's the first point, what not to do. And then you have what to do. Like Lord Chaitanya was asked, what is the principles of someone who is in Krishna consciousness? And the first thing he answered was, a satsanga tyage vaishnava char. You understand? He said, asat sangha chag. He gives up asat sangha, or bad association. So one who is faithful will actually always go for the good association and avoid the bad association, regardless of how attracted he may be to bad association. And then second part here is, who is always engaged in the culture of Krishna consciousness. That means culture means trying to increase his devotion to Krishna and adhering to the Lord's activities. And one who engages like this very soon becomes eligible to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. So here's the secret in advancing in devotional service. So the culture of Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada mentions in the purport, are the nine processes of devotional service: hearing, chanting, remembering Lord Vishnu, serving the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, performing deity worship, offering prayers, serving or becoming the servant of the Lord, becoming the friend, and ultimately surrendering everything unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, I think we'll keep it short. So, any questions or comments about this? Yeah.
All right. You know, about the poisonous effects of hearing from, but it certainly doesn't feel poisonous, and that's why devotees listen. You know, it feels enlivening, and it's so melodious, and that's why they listen. So it doesn't feel like poisonous.
Well, because we are conditioned souls. I'm speaking for myself, not for you. But we are conditioned souls in this world, and we have four defects. This is basic Krishna consciousness. Does anyone know what the four defects are? What? Cheating. That's one.
Imperfect senses.
Tendency to be illusion. We already said cheating. What?
Committing mistakes.
Okay. So let's take tendency to be illusion. So illusion, what does illusion mean? Does anyone have a definition of the word?
Take
something for what it's not, or to see something that doesn't exist or something like that. Like a mirage in the desert, right? When I used to drive a lot, in warm days, you'd see this water on the road. And you'd think, oh, we're coming upon a lake. But it's not a lake, so that's an illusion. So, you know, because we're in the bodily conception of life, we tend to become enlivened. Now, here's an interesting point. Enlivened by things that are, like, very passionate. You know, that makes us very excited when there are things that are passionate. Whereas, you know, of course, things that are ignorant don't make us very excited. So we usually don't gravitate towards, what is it, like that type of music where the punk or funk or whatever, where they scream and yell at you and they jump out from the stage and they hit you on the head with their guitar or they break their guitar on the stage. You know, we usually don't gravitate towards that. But things that are more passionate, we become very enlivened. Just like just like when we were young devotees, we would eat a lot of sweets and we'd become very enlivened in devotional service. At least for a few hours. And Monday morning, we were not enlivened anymore because we were suffering the effects of low blood sugar. So we tend to confuse things that sort of like stimulate us in physically or physiologically with becoming enlivened in Krishna consciousness. You know, this is a big confusion that many of us have. And we tend to think this enlivens us in Krishna consciousness, but actually it's connection with the mode of passion rather than transcendental. I mean, just like every day I try to listen to Prabhupada chanting, and it's definitely, there's no passion there. I mean, it's complete, transparent, transcendental sound vibration. But the enlivenment I get from that is different from when I would be listening to some rock and roll song. It's a more deep thing. And you have to compare the two experiences. It's very deep. It just like, it encourages you to go deeper. Whereas the enlivenment you get from the mode of passion doesn't encourage you to go deeper into your consciousness. It just encourages you to move around a lot in a physiological or physical way. So therefore we confuse, we don't really know what enlivenment is in devotional service. Not all of us, I mean, I'm just speaking for myself. We don't really know. We think it's just getting excited and jumping around. But really enlivenment is the going deep and cultivating, like Prabhupada said here, in the culture of Krishna consciousness. So what is that culture of Krishna consciousness? The culture of Krishna consciousness is that, you know, I'm a servant. Krishna, you could, like Lord Chaitanya prayed, Krishna, you may crush me by your embrace, leave me brokenhearted by not being present before me. You'll remain my worshipful Lord, this unconditional devotional service. That's the culture, you know. One develops this great love, and the steadiness is an indication of that culture in Krishna consciousness. The nishtha, like we talked about yesterday, that's an indication. So anyway, so we confuse things. A lot of things enliven. We're all different. You know, for example, like if I get a new computer, I get very enlivened too. And I remember one of my disciples, she met a Bollywood movie star. Anyway, it was in India. And he shook her hand or something like that. And she became extremely enlivened. She said right afterwards, oh, Krishna consciousness is so wonderful. So we have to be able to distinguish passion. And that's why Krishna gives a description of the different modes of nature in the Bhagavad Gita, so we can actually internally analyze these things when our enlivenment or when our consciousness is being influenced by passion, when it's being influenced by ignorance. Otherwise, we're not going to be able to control our senses. Like I said myself, you know, I become enlivened with so many things that have nothing to do with Krishna consciousness, like new gadgets or something like that. You know, I just read the other day that there was an iPad 3 or the new iPad. It just gets enlivening, you know. I have to be honest about it. I'm not portraying myself as some elevated soul. But I have to be able to distinguish and understand that that is not transcendental enlivenment. Even though it makes me very excited, it's not transcendental enlivenment. It's mundane. It's based on the modes of nature. So therefore, I should pull myself back like the tortoise pulls its limbs back and not get into it, start meditating on it too much. So that's, Yeah, because we have imperfect senses. Therefore, imperfect senses, a tendency to make mistakes, and all those, and be illusions. We often confuse matter with spirit and spirit with matter. So it's a question of developing our intelligence to the point where we can understand what is spiritual, what is material. Our mind is not going to be able to distinguish that. Our intelligence can distinguish it. You know, and so that's how we advance in devotional service. That's faith. You know, just like I have complete faith in Srila Prabhupada. So I listen to his bhajans. I mean, every morning when I'm getting dressed and taking a shower, I listen to his bhajans. And even though, you know, I may think, well, rock and roll music will get me going much more quickly in the morning. Probably would, but anyway. I listen to Prabhupada because it actually, it deepens my Krishna consciousness. And therefore, my experience is that when I'm chanting my japa, I'm able to deepen my connection with the holy names. And if I do anything else, you know, I listen to rock and roll music when I first get up, like the Doors or something like that, then my japa is all splayed out. So it's a question of intelligence. Yeah.
But Maharaj, I'm sure you're thinking about that iPad 3 that you would.
It's called the new iPad, not iPad 3. Yes. Yeah, it's mixed. It's not completely nonsense. You know, I try to justify everything I do. Like we all do. I mean, just like the other day, a long time ago, I gave you the example, I wanted to go hang gliding. And I was trying to justify that, you know, just like, what is it? I'll learn about how close death is. You know, our mind is like that. It can justify just about anything. So, or then I was thinking I'll hang a banner from the back of the hang gliders saying, Chant Hare Krishna, be happy. So we have to be careful. We have to be careful because then we get attached to something and our mind starts contemplating on it. And we think it's spiritual, it'll increase my devotional service, but actually it may be detrimental to my devotion. I'm not saying I shouldn't do it, but all I'm saying is it may be detrimental. So we have to have very strong intelligence, and that strong intelligence is based upon the faith that we have. You know, like sometimes we may not feel like hearing from Prabhupada because our mind is just like an illusion or maya, or we're in certain modes of nature. So he said, this is good for me. Like it says in the Gita, you know, happiness in the mode of goodness or transcendental happiness is sometimes like poison in the beginning, and then it's like nectar in the end. Or like waking up early in the morning. You know, it's not that we always feel that waking up early is ecstatic. So we understand, this is good for me. That's intelligence. This is good. This will please Krishna. This will please my spiritual master if I do this. So therefore, we get up early in the morning. But it's not that the mind will always be giving us the right direction. Does that make sense? Yeah, I mean, I'll think of justifying it in Krishna consciousness, you know, how to engage anything, you know. That's one of my fields of expertise. I can justify any damn thing. So, yeah, pretty much.
Why is strong intelligence based on faith?
Why is strong intelligence based on faith? Because, well, strong spiritual intelligence is based on faith. This is because if you don't have that faith, then the intelligence, as Krishna says, what is that? Vevasayatmaka Buddhirekeha Kuranandana. But Bahu Shaktas Suranantas, second chapter of the Gita. One who is on this path is one pointed in his determination. But those who don't have that firm faith, then their intelligence is many branched. You know, if you don't have faith that Krishna or serving Krishna is going to get you to your goal of happiness, eternal life, bliss, and knowledge, and everything like that, then your mind will become stronger and it will be able to divert you from Krishna consciousness, or your intelligence may go towards other goals. your intelligence may focus on other goals. So firm faith is essential to remain fixed on the path. Otherwise, I mean, you'll be thinking, maybe it's not true, you know, well, if maybe it's not true that I'll be in Maya by going to the movies or something like that, you just won't be convinced about the veracity of Krishna consciousness. Anyway, so faith is actually essential to keep the intelligence fixed. And even in the material world, I mean, let's say if someone is very determined to make a lot of money, they have to have faith that by following a particular procedure or the money will bring them happiness, there has to be some faith and conviction in that particular thing. Otherwise, you get really splayed out. Like, bahu shaktas tunantas cha. As Krishna says in the Gita, that one's intelligence is many branches, then one doesn't accomplish anything. One just really has to be focused on the goal. And to be focused on the goal means you have to believe in the goal. If you don't believe in the goal, then you won't be focused. And it's as simple like that. So any other questions? Yes, Purvaji.
How does one distinguish whether he's hearing from the mind or from the intelligence?
Yeah, you have to really be hearing regularly from Srila Prabhupada to understand the standard. What is the mind? What is the intelligence? What would please Krishna? What would not please Krishna? And you also have to associate with other devotees who are advanced because they can guide you in that way. You have to be ready to the dati pray guyam akyati prachiti. You know, reveal your mind to others and ask them, not only reveal your mind, you know, here's my mind, Prabhu. It's called dumping your garbage on someone. You know, sometimes people do that. Oh, Gurudev or Maharaj or Prabhu, you know, here's, I'm feeling this, I'm feeling that. And then you have to be ready to hear from the others who give advice. It's not simply, you know, someone is your, garbage dump or something like that. That you have to be ready to take the advice the person gives you. You know, what should I do? What would please Prabhupada? I mean, generally, as I mentioned many times before, that's the question I ask myself. You know, what would Prabhupada say about this? Would Prabhupada like it or not like it? And then, I mean, for example, I'll give you a practical example of my own personal life, which I usually do anyway, is that, you know, I go to Govardhan a lot, you know that. And I'm really attracted, you know, if it was up to me, my mind, I would just like put on a Babaji dress and just sit there and chant Hare Krishna because the material world is kind of nasty. You know, my general tendency, just my nature, you know, I'm shy, you wouldn't know it. But anyway, my general tendency is just escape, you'd be alone, you know, just chant, and enter into Krishna's pastimes. So I'm very attracted to that aspect. I mean, I'm not saying it's Maya, but, you know, I'm attracted to it. And so I would just love, you know, just, you know, except I'll keep my computer. But... I'll be the first, like, Babaji, you know, living under a tree with a supercomputer. But so my mind's very attracted to that. And then, so just staying there, you know, I'm very happy. You know, there's no worries, except for death, disease, and old age. But there's no worry. But then the thought comes back to me, you know, what would Prabhupada want? You know, what would Prabhupada... Would Prabhupada want you to do this? So my connection with Prabhupada, connection with the spiritual master, keeps one on the straight and narrow path. You've got to ask yourself the question, because you're a servant. Dasa, dasa, anudasa. We're a servant of a servant of a servant of the Lord. So I keep asking myself that question, and therefore, I can't always do what my mind would want me to do. Or what I would want to do, because my identity is a servant of Srila Prabhupada. So that's the secret. That's the secret. You consider yourself a servant, and then Krishna consciousness becomes very easy, at least as far as making the choices that you have to make in Krishna consciousness. Does that make sense? It's not very difficult. It's not very difficult. I mean, otherwise I'd be in Radhakund or something like that, and you'd just be seeing me on TV, waving, you know, having a good time, happy you're not here. Instead of wish you were here, but anyway. So that's the standard. You know, what would Prabhupada want? What would Krishna want? And that's a servant. And therefore, you know, that's what impels me in my devotional service, you know, getting up early, doing what I have to do, doing the GBC service, which is not, you know, people depict the GBC as sitting in some ivory tower or somewhere, you know, pushing some buttons. It ain't like that. I mean, it's very hard work. You know, sitting in meetings and tolerating different personalities. But, you know, it's hard work. It's hard work, but, you know, we just keep asking ourselves what would Prabhupada want us to do. Especially when you get older, doing all this stuff is much harder. You know, then you become much more inclined when you get older just to hear and chant. I mean, that's it. I mean, much more inclined. And you'll see that as you get older. You're still young, but you know, the passion sort of gets up and goes. When I opened up this temple, it was a very passionate endeavor. I was laying the blocks and everything like that. You know, the blocks in this temple is built from, you know, shaping this concrete, built the stairs. Just to think about it now is just like, would you like to do it again? Not really. So, but when you get older, you just have to focus. Just like Srila Prabhupada. I mean, obviously, it was such an austerity for Prabhupada to cross the ocean and do something and deal with young people who are so damn passionate. You can't understand. When you get older, you understand more of the austerity that Prabhupada had to endure. You know, it would be so comfortable for Prabhupada just to remain in Vrindavan chanting. I mean, even for me, it's comfortable. And what to speak of Prabhupada as a pure devotee. It was just like, wow. And he's seen Krishna's pastimes. You know, I'm not seeing Krishna's pastimes. I'm just seeing YouTube. You know what YouTube is? No. So he's seeing Krishna's pastimes. He's there in Vrindavan. He's hearing the flute of Krishna. And then he does something that's, you know, completely against the psychophysical nature when you're so old to please his guru. I mean, you really appreciate that. And that's really getting off the mental platform. Of course, Prabhupada wasn't on the mental platform, but I mean, really, that's an example of how to transcend the mental platform. You know, what Prabhupada did at 70 years of age, you know, it's incredible. You know, I can't think of doing that. So, any other questions or comments, real quick? No, that's time. Thank you very much. All glories to the Divine Lady, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.